We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Throw to first. That's his first major league hit. An infield hit for George Springer.
Springer hammers one to right field. Back at the wall. Watch it. That's it. Number one on the young career for George Springer.
Springer has done it on the first pitch. Talk about a jolt. The Giants wrap up the AL West title. Springer drives one deep to left field, headed to the train tracks. The 4 train has just left Union Station.
Oh, Canada.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
It's the Search Update.
That's right, it is the Search Update, which we will do at every top of the hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And the latest on the Texas coaching search. They and the Eagles are the only two vacancies that are open of the seven jobs that came open. And, Clint, it feels like we are down to three. It seems like there are three candidates that have jumped in front of the others. And I think maybe Jim Caldwell just waiting just in case. But the three, Eric Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, Leslie Frazier. Now, I did the search show last night with OG John Lopez, who just finished with Within the Loop. He said he thought today that Matt Eberflus would be the guy. He said he thought he might be the guy. So I have been all night preparing myself and trying to figure out the Houston Texans under the leadership of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, look, Matt Eberflus is obviously a top candidate. I mean, there's no doubt about it that I would not be disappointed at all. I still think Eric Bieniemy is the choice. I think he's the best fit. I think he's the best fit, and he's a fixer for a lot of your problems. But Matt Eberflus is definitely a good candidate. And like I said yesterday, I know we're kind of at a stalemate here at a crossroads where with the Houston Texans, there's not a whole lot of action on the head coach front and who's moving the needle. There's not any reports out there who's moving the needle in Nick Caserio and who's not. But the good thing is the Texans are in a spot where you've got some quality candidates as your ones, and you've got a safety net of quality candidates out there. And so this is going to be a hard one to miss if you're the Houston Texans. I still think Eric Bieniemy is the way to go, but Matt Eberflus, if the OG says that's his favorite, I can't count him out, and Matt Eberflus would be a great hire.
See, he didn't really have an answer to my question with Matt Eberflus last night is, if it is him, and I think he has a chance to be a good coach in this league, what offense is he bringing? Because I think that's why when you hear Bieniemy, I know what offense he's bringing. And maybe it's just me. I feel more confident what kind of defensive coach you can find. Man, I want to know what kind of offense he believes in. Does he believe in Frank Reich and that system that they ran in Indianapolis? Does he believe in the Patriots? I don't know. What does he like what they did here? That would be my thought. And that would be the biggest question mark I would have for Matt Eberflus to understand what type of an offensive coach and system he's looking for.
Yeah, I mean that would be the remaining question at that point in time if he is named the Houston Texans head coach is who is the offensive coordinator. I don't I don't know that you look at it as much as what kind of system is he in. Because, look, let's be honest, you've got a quarterback that can – you've either got a quarterback that can fit any system and is going to be really, really special in the obviously the catalyst of what you do on the offensive side of the football moving forward, or you're cleaning house, Deshaun's moving, you're starting over, yeah, and you rebuild from the ground up. And at that point in time, whatever offensive coordinator you bring in here has the ability to essentially pick his quarterback and figure out exactly what style of offensive ball he wants to play. I really think the scheme is less of a concern for me, and it's more about, is the guy a football coach? What kind of offensive line coach does he bring with him? Is he a guy that's going to bring a staff in here and the expectations on the practice field Monday through Saturday? Are the expectations on the practice field going to be through the roof, or is it a common name that you've heard before? Is it a Tim Kelly? Is it somebody of that nature that it's going to be more of the same on the offensive side of the football because Deshaun Watson had a big year?
Hold on, you said scheme real quick. Is it any scheme except for the one he's in right now? Like is that, or even the one he's in right now? If you just brought in the right coaches, because it feels like you don't get the best out of Deshaun and this offense in this particular scheme that he was in. I know we saw a great Deshaun last year, but the things around him, there's no run game, there's none of that.
We saw a great product at the quarterback position. We didn't see a winning brand of football. I would think difference. That they would change gears immediately from the game plan offense that Bill O'Brien ran and the game plan offense that Tim Kelly, continued after Bill O'Brien was fired. I know Deshaun did some really good things, and I think Tim Kelly did some really good things, but I just don't believe that approach, that vanilla ass offense, that I think aged offense, archaic offense, and the thought of not moving players and not creating advantage with motions and shifts and formations and things of that nature and not building around certain players. I think that's a thing of the past. I definitely think they would change schemes from what they were doing. I meant more along the lines of, is it an Andy Reid type of offense where it's more spread receiver and quarterback oriented, or is it a Shanahan offense where it's more offensive line, run game, establish the run game, you play action off of it? I don't think it really matters which one they bring in as much as it matters. You just make sure those cats you bring in are coaching, because they've got to do more with less, and they've got to get more out of the guys that are in the locker room right now. And I think that it starts with what you do Monday through Saturday on the practice field. That's got a chance. There's an opportunity in Houston for that aspect of this football team to take a huge step up in the right direction with coaches, with cleats in the turf, lace them up, let's coach our tail off, let's break a sweat coaching in the individual periods, as much as we do, in the team drills, 7-on-7 drills, things of that nature. Let's surround this team with those types of coaches. I think that's the key.
All right, that is the search, man. The latest, those three seem to be the ones in the front: Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, and Leslie Frazier. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And this feels like a tough day for Houston. George Springer, I think a lot of people kind of prepared themselves. I know Clint, the last few times we talked about it, said, I know he's gone. He's gone. He's out of here. George Springer, he did. He signed a deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, 6 years, $150 million. And that's guaranteed, baby. That is guaranteed. I mean, George Springer is getting almost $40 million guaranteed more than Deshaun Watson. Good God almighty. But George Springer guaranteed is going to Toronto. But then the other part, there's been some conflicting reports, but there was thought that Michael Brantley was going to be heading to Toronto with him. I feel like when you hear that report, I think maybe the deal ain't done yet. I would be surprised if he doesn't go to Toronto. Those two losses, first off losing George Springer, I took Tyler today talking about it hurt me more than I thought it would. He said, I thought it was prepared.
Yeah.
Oh, hurting, bro.
McLaughlin hurting.
It's a tough day in the baseball world, in the Astros world, no doubt about it. I mean, for all the big-time Houston Texans and Houston Astros fans out there, I mean, this is a big day, man. It's painful to watch a guy like George Springer leave. I mean, he just – obviously, he's a great player. But the blue-collar approach, the blue-collar mentality that he played the game with, I think made it easy for Houston Astros fans to fall in love with the guy. And then you add the clutch gene that he brought to the team directly after they had three straight 100-loss seasons in a row. He comes in 2014, and they start ascending at that point in time. And his career, when you look at his numbers, I think the first thing you do is you look at what he did in the postseason. I mean, this guy batted 270 throughout his career with the Astros. Guess what he batted in the playoffs?
270.
270, baby. I mean, this is a guy that was clutch as hell. Didn't matter if it was the first game of the year or the World Series. No moment was too big. And he was always prepared, and he always produced. And so it's definitely tough to watch George Springer leave and head up north and no longer be an Astro. I mean, this is a guy that arguably is the best leadoff hitter in Astros history. I mean, he's in the conversation with Craig Biggio as the best leadoff hitter in Astros history. So tough day, no doubt.
713-572-4610. Even though you were prepared for George Springer leaving, did it hit you harder than it thought it would? Because Tyler was crying when he came in earlier today. Did it hit you harder than you thought it would? Also, Robert Flores, MLB Network, he's going to join us up at 2:35. He's just tied in with everything. Because I think the next step is, Springer's one thing. But hold on, Michael Brantley's going to? I think the combination of the two, because you could prepare for Springer. You say to yourself, all right, maybe they go get another outfielder and Yordan Alvarez, he comes back. That bat is there. You still got bats. Yuli comes back. He maybe has a bounce-back season. Altuve can't play like that again. I mean, can't. You think the lineup's strong enough, maybe they get some pitch you could do. But now Brantley's out of the lineup and Springer's out of the lineup. I'm wondering, does this mean Astro fans may need to change their expectations of this team? Have we reached that point? Should Astros fans be thinking maybe they need to change their expectation? Because it's been a championship expectation the last however many years. I wonder, are people like, this may be a different looking team that I shouldn't have the certain expectations that we've had before?
Look, I mean, it's definitely tough times for the Astros. There's a lot of transition here with those two guys leaving. You got to remember Verlander also is out for the season and at least the majority of the season, and depending on
about him too.
So you're losing two of the most important bats in the lineup. You're losing two outfielders. You're losing your ace in the hole. I mean, there's definitely a lot of change that's going on right now with the Astros. I don't think the expectations change. I mean, I think the expectations was set over the last several years of having the crazy amount of success that they had. I mean, I think the expectations going into this thing have to remain the same, and you got to expect James Click. And
they need to make a move.
Oh, yeah, they got to make several moves, right? And they've got to have a little luck along the way. There's no doubt about it. Some guys that are in-house have to play better. Some young guys that have been in the system for a while with high expectations that have not performed, they've got to step up, and they've got to perform and produce at a big level. They definitely are depending on some guys that they may not be 100% comfortable depending on, but if those guys do come through and, the evaluators in the organization were spot on, if they hit on a couple of these guys, then you keep on keeping on.
They had good success with that last year. Kyle Tucker, maybe he's ready to step up into a bigger role. But, yeah, I you got to take a look at it. Those are two huge bats out of that lineup. Look at it. It was January 20th, and Dusty's already spoken Newport because he didn't lost his two his two best hitters, his two and three hitters out of there. His leadoff hitter and his three hitter out of the lineup, and they're both going to Toronto. All right. Wait till you hear what the Texans did with Tim Kelly. There is news out on Tim Kelly. Other teams tried to get at Tim Kelly, and wait till you hear the response from the Texans. It may scream a lot about this coaching search. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint. I saw this come across. Dan Graziani of ESPN, and I don't know if I'm saying your name right, Dan. It feels right.
You definitely are.
Am I not? What is it? Dan what? Dan?
Graziano.
Is it Graziano?
I'm pretty sure.
Dan Graziani. See, I feel like when I hear them say it on TV, they say it real fast at the end like they're not as confident. Dan Grazi.
We know that's your kryptonite. It's okay.
I don't believe it's a kryptonite. I just believe you do.
I mean, that O at the end's bigger than all get out.
Is it?
Ain't no E or no I or no A Dan or no it's an O. It's a big O.
Is it a big ass O?
It's a big Oliver ass Miller O right there in the back.
Did he report on Olin Depot?
He should have made that sucker.
Hey, shut up. Hey, don't get on me about Victor. By the way, an excellent start to his career as a Rocket, 32 the other night. But Dan Graziano, or Graziani, Dan Graziani, he comes out a report that a source told him teams have asked permission to interview Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly for their open OC jobs, and the Houston Texans have denied the request. And I asked you, Clint, why? Why would you deny? Why? Sorry. But why?
Well, that's the question. Is it legit, right? I mean, I don't think there's no way in hell that Tim Kelly is an offensive coordinator with the Texans moving forward or anybody moving forward.
Can you say no way in hell?
I don't think there's any way in hell that Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator with the Texans moving forward. QB coach, I've come around to their way of thinking. Maybe the QB coach, if Deshaun Watson is indeed as fine to him as his comments right after the season this year led us to believe, maybe. But the question is this an effort by the organization to not damage the relationship with Watson more than it already is, right? Is that what this is? Is this a hang on to Tim Kelly, protect Tim Kelly, let everybody know that they're protecting Tim Kelly so that Deshaun knows they're protecting a guy that he obviously spoke out about wanting to, or you know, possibly wanting to keep around throughout this change? Or is it a legit Tim Kelly's a real possibility in Houston?
It can't be. Like if the way you said it, quarterback coach, I can go with that. As you said, the relationship with him. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think that Tim Kelly was going to get a shot to be an OC anywhere. Not next year. And I understand what Deshaun did this year, but man, overall, like their run game and everything, that's a tough one to come back with, especially with his background with Bill O'Brien. I thought he'd have a hard chance getting an OC job anywhere this year. But to think that when we see the candidates they have, that he'd be a guy that would be an OC to come, like that means they'd be like, we want to run this offense again. And I just cannot see, even with the endorsement from Deshaun, I can't see how a coach would come in and want to be like, I want to run this offense again.
Look, there's a laundry list of reasons why Tim Kelly's offense, and Tim Kelly has no chance of being the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans.
I mean, want to be his confidence.
I mean, I think Tim Kelly, the positives on Tim Kelly, he clearly developed Deshaun Watson. He deserves props for his role in that, no doubt about it. He deserves props for the past game with all the injuries that they overcame. There's no doubt about it. But you got to look at why were they able to have that kind of success? If you were going to try to defend the Houston Texans, how would you defend the Houston Texans? I would play bend, don't break, make them execute 12 and 13 play drives, take away the big play, right? With or without Fuller, take away the big play. Don't let anybody get behind the defense. We can stop the run with our front four, drop seven or eight into coverage. Deshaun just happened to be disciplined enough to take what they gave him, which was completions at a 70% clip.
The distributor, as you call
it. The distributor. It just happened to work out perfectly for Deshaun's development. And I'm not taking anything away from his development. I'm not taking anything away from Tim Kelly's ability to help him develop. I'm just telling you, why they were able to seemingly effortlessly just get completions, get 300 yards, and still score points, right? There was clear reasons, and the defensive game plans were designed to give them the underneath stuff kudos to them for taking it, but the defensive game plans were designed to do that and they and take away the deep shot. Now, the negatives on Tim Kelly, clearly he's a Bill O'Brien guy, right? No, and when there's turnover in the coaching staff, very rarely does a coach come in. I don't care if he's a head coach, a figurehead head coach, like he delegates offense, defensive coordinator, or if he's a defensive or offensive minded, very rarely they come in and go, yep, I want to keep the last regime that blew the place up. I want to keep their guys and their way of thinking in this building. So him being a Bill O'Brien guy is a negative. He's got limited experience of play calling, right? It's a huge negative. The run game with the Texans last year, that's a huge negative. And this all falls at the feet of the offensive coordinator, right? There was no change in that once Tim Kelly took over. They got hot late and started doing some things a little bit differently, and you can maybe chalk that up to Tim Kelly changing some things. But all in all, the run game was awful. The screen game was awful, right? They were poor in the red zone. He was surrounded by poor coaching all year long, and it didn't seem like that changed a whole lot. The offense as a whole is very vanilla. Didn't seem to change a whole hell of a lot throughout the year. And so I just think the laundry list of negatives of why Tim Kelly wouldn't be an offensive coordinator here is it far outweighs the positives and why he could possibly stick around with this organization.
As we're discussing here, Tim Kelly, other teams have acquired upon trying to talk with him about their offensive coordinator positions, and the Texans have denied it. They have denied the ability to do that. See, I'm glad that you came with those negatives, because I started to feel bad. I started saying to myself, maybe I'm being too hard on Timmy. You know, I don't think it's fair to just say it was all Deshaun, that they were able to be that productive with that offensive line. Like at times, like they had Tunzel out, Titus Howard out late, Zach Fulton, God bless him, and they had their guard was out. They had a lot of mixed up offensive line, sure. And they were still getting good offense against the Bengals, against the Colts late, against the Titans late. And hell, they ran out there. What did they go? Chad, Stevie Mitchell, Kiki QT, one game. Brandon Cooks didn't play one of those.
Right.
And they were still, as you said, able to. So I don't want to say that that's all Deshaun. You got to give some credit to Tim Kelly to be able to navigate through all of the injuries. I'm glad you brought those things back up, because the lack of run game, or as I would say, when Clint would say, I just can't have nobody be an offensive coordinator that got to take timeout run plays.
Yes.
Like, I got to catch my breath, so let's call this.
Let's call it. They got two on the roof. Let's run the ball between the tackles so I can catch my breath and figure out what I want to run on second and nine. Yeah, that's not it. Look, there's – and again, this isn't a timing to bang on Tim Kelly. It's just the fact of the matter. I mean, I think what the guy was able to do once Bill O'Brien was fired, I think is a resume builder. I think it's a notch in his belt. You know what I mean? Like, it's a feather in his cap. I mean, this guy's. I think he's one of the guys on this staff that earned the right to remain in the league and be taken seriously in this league. And I think he advanced his coaching career by what he did with what he was able to do with Deshaun Watson. I just don't think that the offensive coordinator that was raised up by Bill O'Brien happened to have a good run for 12 games. I don't think that's enough for another head coach, another regime to come in here and go, yeah, we're going to put our eggs in that basket, and we're going to see if he can't keep this thing rolling and maybe get the running game going. I don't see that happening.
I could see him being a quarterback coach in any other type of system. For me, Clint, it is as much him as the system, right? Like, to me, it is. I just feel like Deshaun was able to put up the numbers that he did, but damn, it felt like it's such a fight, right? It's so much more of a struggle than it needs to be. Like, he should not have no run game whatsoever at all. They shouldn't be any usage of or lack of usage of him in the run game to open up things for him to make it easier. He should have easier throws to make. So it's not just him and him when I think of, God, I got Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. What's the coach I want to pair with him?
right.
Chip Kelly. That ain't it. But it's as much the system. So if he wants to be the quarterback coach and they want to do that in another system, in a Shanahan-type system or Andy Reid, Bieniemy-type system, I can go with that. But, man, him running the offense, that
I
again?
You know what? The more I think of it, I can't go with any of it. I can't go. He's a tight ends coach at best.
If he stays in the last 11 minutes, you've taken him down.
Yeah, well, because here's the deal. is if you hire a defensive coordinator, right, and he hires an offensive coordinator, I don't think there's any way in hell that it's Tim Kelly. If he hires an offensive coordinator, that offensive coordinator more than likely is going to be in the quarterback room coaching the quarterbacks and teaching the terminology. Why would he keep a guy around that he has to teach the terminology to on the staff? Right? Why wouldn't he bring a guy with him that knows the offense that when he's got to go get coffee or he's got to teach it to Deshaun. Yeah, now he's got to teach it to Kelly. Kelly's got to teach it to Deshaun. That's something that you can avoid. I don't think there's any way that Tim Kelly remains with the Texans.
Well, why are they blocking him?
Well, I think it's a gesture to Deshaun Watson and the fact that he spoke out and said that he was high on Tim Kelly and he'd already talked to Cal McNair about it. That's all I can think of. It wouldn't surprise me if Tim Kelly didn't end up with the Alabama Crimson Tide as a quarterback coach there.
I think Tim is saying to myself, you could stop with those gestures. I'd like to have an opportunity at some of these jobs if you don't mind it.
He does. He's got a real opportunity as the offensive coordinator with the quarterback coach with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, with Bill O'Brien now, Doug Marrone there. He does have a shot if there's an opening there. All right, a lot happening here in Houston with Deshaun stuff, but today another great, I'd say, Houston legend, George Springer, is going. And then the other news of Michael Brantley potentially both going to Toronto. No better person to have on than the very feisty, I'm sure give us more than Astros takes, Robert Flores, MLB Network. He is joining us coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, a crazy day here in Houston. Well, hell, it ain't crazy. It seems like it's normal. James Hart bounces. People are bouncing. And now George Springer has ended his great career here with the Astros, World Series champion, 2017 MVP of the World Series, real clutch player. And nobody better to have on to talk to about this than MLB Network's Robert Flores, a great friend of the show. And who knows what these next few minutes are going to be like with Robert Flores, because he selfishly takes it wherever he wants to take it. But I want to get from you, George Springer. I don't think many people are surprised by this move, but
yeah.
What kind of loss is this for the Astros?
I mean, it's big, obviously. What he meant to the franchise, he will go down as one of the greatest Astros of our time, of all time. Excuse me. I think he's arguably the most clutch player in franchise history. I would put him right up there with Carlos Beltran, even in his limited stay in the 2004 playoffs. But what George Springer did in the postseason in 2017, and then what we saw even in the 2020 postseason run, it's elite. He is everything that you would want in a face of the franchise type player. It's the end of an era. This is Jose Altuve's team, and this is Alex Bregman's team. Make no mistake about it. George Springer, I've said this before, he really set the tone in a lot of ways in that clubhouse. He had a nice vibe about him, just the way he kind of walked in and commanded that clubhouse room. But they're going to miss that. And that's not to say that they won't miss his production on the field as well, because they will dearly, dearly miss that production. But that's just the way the business is. He wanted a big deal. He deserved a big deal. And fortunately for Astro fans, Houston was not able to accommodate that.
Well, what does it look like for the Astros now, Roflo? I mean, you're looking at obviously the Brantley conversation of him possibly, or it looks like he is going to land in Toronto as well.
Yeah.
Before we go to the Astros, talk a little bit about Brantley, his similar approach that you just hit Springer. I mean, what does this mean for the Astros to lose a guy like Michael Brantley?
I mean, professional hitter. I mean, that's a phrase that is a cliche that is thrown about for guys like Michael Brantley, and it's true. I mean, look, Springer and Brantley were 1-2 in OPS for the Astros last year. So when you talk about how big of a loss this is in the span of basically, 8 hours, and then the Springer news hit yesterday evening, and then the news hit today about Michael Brantley, it's huge. You're losing the top two players in OPS from your lineup. And you ask, well, what do they do now? Well, you've got Kyle Tucker, and then you've got Yordan Alvarez coming back off multiple knee surgeries. He's not going to play the outfield. On your 40-man, the only other outfielders are Miles Straw and Chaz McCormick. Mm. Your system does not have any major league-ready prospects. So now what do you do? Well, you're going to have to either trade for someone or you're going to have to sign for someone. What do the trade possibilities look like? Well, the Blue Jays have a glut of outfielders, including Teoscar Hernandez, a former Astro, and Randall Grichuk, who I believe is from the Houston area. But to get those type of players, you're going to have to further deplete your system, which you've depleted in trying to make the playoffs and make runs. So what about signings, free agent signings? Jackie Bradley Jr. is out there. Kevin Pillar. I mean, there's different names that you could go about. You could also throw in, as far as a trade possibility, Andrew Benintendi. But again, that is going to require that you use prospect capital, and that's not really something that the Astros have a whole lot of.
Yeah, Robert Flores, MLB Network, here with us as we're discussing the moves that were made or the losses that the Astros have had with George Springer and Michael Brantley. Now, when you combine those two, I think a lot of people are wondering, man, as you talked about it, the Astros have never been afraid to make moves. Like they've been around things. It seems like they are really silent right now. They've made, you know, Pedro Baez in the bullpen and added some things. But it makes a wonder, what are the thought process this season with the Astros, and are we going to see them make some additions to make it appear like they want to make a run this year?
Well, I think that, and you mentioned Pedro Baez, and they also added Ryan Stanek. I think those are very significant additions to their bullpen. Clearly, they don't address the outfield, in which that is a major need. But look, I'm sure James Click and the rest of his staff and the rest of the front office, they knew that this day was coming. They had to know that they were not going to – I know for sure that they did not think they would be able to re-sign George Springer. I don't think they were quite as sure about Michael Brantley. I'm sure that they had some hope, but they knew that this day would eventually come. So I'm sure that they're ready to now begin to make some moves. And again, you can go the free agent route with guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. And players like that, or, you know, you can go the trade route, which again, I brought up kind of the complications there. So, look, they now know, okay, this is what we're faced with. Now we really have to get to work. The market has been slow, really, league-wide. I think with George Springer signing, maybe that opens things up and maybe that starts the floodgates a little bit. You know, where do some of the other big-name free agents go now? Where does JT Realmuto go? Where does Trevor Bauer go? So I think you might start to see the market have a little movement now.
Robert Flores of MLB Network joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Rob, what about – you mentioned earlier that this is now Altuve and Bregman's team. Man, as I've covered these guys the last couple of years, I was concerned about this transition. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, because when I watch Bregman and I watch Altuve, I don't see big personalities that can take over a locker room or the genuine, sincere – leader that George Springer was with that quiet it factor. I was concerned at a high level about this day until my man, Mr. She Knows. Mm. Los Correa, over the last 6 months, last 8 months, when I saw him step up in the face of adversity the way he did. Now we can pick apart the way he said things and the way he delivered his message and the timing of it all. But damn it, he stood up when there wasn't a whole lot of people excited about standing up for the Astros. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, now I hate to lose. I hate to lose Springer's talent, the leadoff, the clutch gene, that guy that means so much to the organization. But man, it sure seems to me like Los Correa is a guy that is ready and willing and chomping at the bit to step into that heartbeat of the team, leader of the locker room role as well.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. A couple of things. He's an interesting case. First of all, I love his Hulk Hogan heel turn persona that we saw sticking up. Yeah, sticking up for his teammate and telling Cody Bellinger to basically shut the bleep up. You know, so I love that fire and that passion. But the other interesting thing with Carlos is he's obviously a free agent at the end of this season, right? So how much longer is he going to? Because you know, with Altuve and Bregman, they're connected. They are locked up. They're here for multiple years after this year. With Carlos, and this is pure speculation on my part, I don't have any inside scoop or anything. I get the feeling that Carlos will want to test free agency. So if I'm a betting person, I would put money on that this will be Carlos Correa's last year with the Astros. I don't know that for sure. That's just pure speculation. That's just an educated guess. But to your point, Clint, I think we saw Carlos towards the latter end of the season, especially in the postseason. I think we saw him raise his game to another level. I mean, because he's already an elite player. He was already superstar level, but maybe we saw him take some steps even beyond that.
Well, Robert, with that thought about Carlos Correa potentially maybe leaving in your thoughts next year, would that be because Carlos Correa really maybe wants to test things and go somewhere else, or would that be because maybe the Astros may not have the funds or may not want to spend the type of money it would take to keep a Carlos Correa?
No, you bring up a very interesting point. Look, far be it from me to spend other people's money, but they got the money, okay? You know, if they wanted to do it, they would do it, okay? So let's just set that aside, right? Now, whether Carlos wants to test free agency, as again, I don't know for sure. It's just the feeling I get that I think he would want to test free agency just to see what's out there. And just an educated guess on my part, my guess is that he would depart somewhere, go somewhere else. Now, you look at the free agent class that he is a part of, which includes a whole lot of shortstops. I mean, there's just so much we don't know still. I mean, we don't know what the industry is going to look like this time next year. Are fans going to be back? How long will fans be back? You know, what teams are going to be in need of a shortstop? What teams are going to be able to pay premium dollar for a shortstop like Carlos Correa? There's still a whole lot of unknown as far as that goes.
Robert Flores of MLB Network joining us. Robert, we're talking about obviously the news that Springer signed a 6-year, $150 million deal with the Blue Jays. It looks like Brantley is on his way, not to that kind of money, I don't believe, but definitely up north of the border to Toronto as well. Robert, I heard the guy, our In the Loop guys, Landry Locker and John Lopez, who you know, Lopez has been in this area covering sports for good guys since I was in I think junior high. Boy, we've been at it for a while, maybe before that. But I heard them having the conversation of who's the best leadoff hitter in Astros history. Obviously, it comes down between George Springer, the clutch gene, the World Series, the MVP in the World Series, and then Craig Biggio, 20 years with the organization and all the numbers that he compiled. In your opinion, I'm curious, who do you think is the best leadoff hitter in Astros history?
Man, because they had some similarities. Obviously, two very, very, I mean, you know, elite players, and Craig Biggio in the Hall of Fame. George Springer, if he keeps up on his track and this track, I mean, maybe he could be mentioned in that conversation. But I think Springer had a little bit more pop than Biggio. He had that ability a little bit more than Biggio to change the game right away, to get that leadoff homer right off the bat. And we saw that plenty of times in the playoffs and the regular season. So, I mean, both similar, but yet they had some very key differences. And in Biggio's case, I might lean toward Craig Biggio just because he started his career as an Astro, played all the way through as an Astro, and of course finished as a Houston Astro. And obviously that's not going to be the case for George Springer.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I'm telling you, man, Jose Altuve, those years when he was leading off and stealing bases
very
the
effective.
Way he did. I mean, I know he didn't do it as long as those two did, but man, he had power and speed out there. Robert Flores, before we get you out of here, Eric Bieniemy or Matt Eberflus, who's the head coach? Who's the head coach that Robert Flores is pulling for the Houston Texans to get?
Quite honestly, I don't even know who the other guy is. So give me what'd you say? Walkenfuss? Is that his name?
Right, Eberflus. Right, I have
Dr. Seuss.
His name is Matt Eberflus. His name is
Green
Matt Eberflus. That's my thing. That's been my thing, Robert. I just cannot believe in him. I don't believe that is a tough enough name for a great head coach. Parcells, Belichick, Tomlin, Eberflus.
I want the guy that Deshaun Watson wants. Give me that guy. That, you know what? Let's have him. Because look, as I said, I tweeted this out yesterday. This has been a rough year for Houston sports fans, and it's only January. I mean, just think about what we've seen. The city of Houston sporting landscape has lost James Harden. The Texans were terrible. There's a good chance you'll lose Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. George Springer's left. Michael Brantley's left. But you know what, guys? You know who's still here? Jack Easterby. Praise the Lord. He is still here. You know what? He's Leonardo DiCaprio in Wall Street when he's like, I'm not going.
He's not.
I'm not going. That's it. That's who he is.
Yeah, he's pounding his chest and doing it.
Untouchable, baby.
Yeah,
untouchable.
He's the greatest of all time. All right, that is Robert Flores. Always welcome here. We always have a good time with him. Appreciate you jumping on with us and giving us your Texans takes.
Anytime. You literally can call me anytime for any Texans takes because I am ready. I feel like I could probably get in less trouble if I say I'm here as opposed to put on Twitter.
All right, appreciate it. That's Robert Flores.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, who is it? You didn't give your answer. Who's your top leadoff guy? Who's your favorite leadoff guy for the Astros?
Man, I have a very difficult time coming off of Craig Biggio. Hall of Famer, 7-time All Star, 4-time Gold Glove, 5-time Silver Slugger. I mean, you know, they're obviously the clutch Springer that was so damn good in the playoffs all the time, but particularly in the 2017. World Series. I mean, I went back and looked at Biggio's numbers in the playoffs. His average did drop in the playoffs a bit. So the fact that Springer kept he kept steady regardless of the level of competition. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time putting Springer over Biggio just simply because of the body of work, man. 20 years, obviously a Hall of Fame career.
That might give him the edge.
Yeah,
Hall of Fame thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's an easy, that's low-hanging fruit, right? But I just think we can sit here and go, is Springer a Hall of Famer yet?
Ooh, no.
Well, okay, whether you think he is or he isn't, or you think he's going to be, or he's on the right path, at this point in time in his career, I don't think Springer's a Hall of Famer.
He did bring the championship here,
sure,
and he was the MVP
sure.
of that series. So,
sure. Yeah, no. It's a hell of a debate, and I think it's one that would be difficult to win either way. But me personally, I was an Astro buddy, baby. I was in the Astrodome on the old turf down there with Jose Cruz and Billy Hatcher and Dickie Thon and all them boys, Nolan Ryan and all them, Mike Scott back in the day, man. So I'm pretty fond of that. The older the older group of Astros, and then when Biggio, Bagwell, and
Killer
Berkman,
Bees
the Killer, you know, when they all came around, man, it was I was right there in the thick of things. So it's hard for me right now to put Springer over Biggio in any way, shape, or form. But damn it, I really don't want to make the decision, to be completely honest with you.
So you just
I'd go Biggio. I mean, golly, I mean, look, the guy's numbers over 20 years, the same organization.
You're safe. He's Hall of Famer.
I mean, it's safe. Yeah, gotcha. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
He wins. He's Hall of Famer.
Appreciate
it. All right, we continue the top of the hour, the search, the latest on the Texan search. It feels like we're down to three. We'll talk about that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.